Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Well, this Sunday we are continuing our summer series, Singing Our Faith, and our hymn that you just sang today that we are focused on is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. I love the fact that Henry Van Dyke, who composed the lyrics to this hymn, that he was inspired to write these lyrics while gazing at the magnificent Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts. The Berkshires are very special to me because some of my ancestors lived there in the 1700s and 1800s. And Lori and I recently met some friends a few weeks ago there, and I got to visit the home where my grandmother lived and where my grandparents were married. So I honestly feel somewhat rooted in the beauty, the incredible beauty of that area. And of course, we recognize Van Dyke's lyrics as we sing them to the music of Hymn of Joy from Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. Our scripture reading today that you heard Pastor Latini read is from Psalm 66. And it speaks of joy in terms of the world making a joyful noise to God, all the earth, imagining the entire world joining in praise of God. The Bible speaks so often of joy. From beginning to end, scriptures urge us to rejoice. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises to God. This is from Psalm 98. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, from Philippians 4. And Jesus says in John 15, I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. From John's Gospel. Last week, I was up at Cathedral of the Pines Camp with third, fourth, and fifth graders. For most of my time, the weather was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. I began most days, 5:30, 6 o'clock, up in Grand Marais with my coffee and my quiet time down by the water. I savored the warmth of the summer sun on my face, the bright blue sky above, the crashing of the waves on the rocks, and the occasional breeze stirring in the air. And then I'd return to camp to hear the voices and the laughter of the campers filling the air. And I thought many times, this is the kind of joy to which our faith calls us. From beginning to end, the Bible affirms the goodness of creation and what it means to be human and physical. Christianity is an incarnational faith. It affirms that God's creation is good. It says that God trusted flesh and blood in the person of Jesus to bring divine love to earth. The Word became flesh and lived among us, from John 1. Biblical faith affirms the goodness of this world in which God has placed each one of us. God wants us to experience the fullness and the joy of life. So, what is the ultimate source and nature of this joy we are meant to experience? Well, I think Psalm 66 speaks to that question. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, give to him glorious praise. And the Apostle Paul also speaks to that question in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your goodness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's remarkable here is that Paul wrote these words from a prison cell. He would eventually spend over 2 years in prison awaiting his trial. Any way you look at it, the outcome would not be good for Paul. Yet joy is the primary theme of Paul's letter to the Philippians. He mentions it over and over again. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what the circumstances." Was Paul delusional? No, he understood the pain and fear and doubt that plagued the human community and the Christian community in particular. So he's not denying these problems exist. Instead, as the famous theologian Karl Barth has said, the joy that Paul describes is a defiant nevertheless in the face of all that besets him and besets his friends. Paul goes on to say, because the Lord is near, always close by to those who call upon him. So don't worry about anything, but pray and give thanks to God in all circumstances. God's love and care surround you. You can trust God's goodness. The result of that trust, Paul says, is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Joy, as biblical faith understands it, isn't affected by external circumstances. Joy is rooted in faith, trust in the living God, and it leads to peace. The joy of which Paul speaks transcends our outward circumstances. Joy is born of trust and confidence in the God who will see us through the darkest and the toughest of times. God will be faithful and present to us, working ultimately for good in our lives, no matter what happens. In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks of this same kind of joy when he says, "I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Jesus spoke these words on the night before he died as he said farewell to his disciples, his friends. Jesus also says that for our joy to be full, we are to abide or to remain in his love. And when we do that, it leads us to love one another and to love the world. This is the well-known passage in John's Gospel where Jesus says earlier, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide or remain in relationship with me, those who stay connected to the vine, bear much fruit. They bear the fruit of love for others." But this love and joy do not come easily to us human beings. They do not seem to be a natural inclination. That's why Jesus says, "Abide in my love, stay connected to me, watch me, listen to me, learn from me." Just as the branches of a vine or tree bear fruit by staying connected to the main vine or trunk of the tree, the power to love as Jesus loved comes from staying connected to Jesus, the vine. That's why we gather together in worship. We gather to stay connected to the vine. We gather to hear the stories of Jesus, to reflect on his teachings, to ask ourselves what Jesus calls us to do and to be in our daily lives. If we stop listening to Jesus' teachings and stop asking ourselves what God calls us to do in this world, we become disconnected from the vine and settle for less than the fullness of God's love and joy. Beauty and joy are not dependent on our external circumstances. However, as I experienced the beauty that surrounded me at Cathedral of the Pines and the North Shore, I was reminded to again thank God for the goodness of life, of family and friends, for the fullness and joy of all of life, even with its burdens and challenges. Because God never abandons us, the Lord is near, and nothing can separate us from the infinite love of an infinite God through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer that I found among my mom's things after she died almost 20 years ago. My mom was a woman who could find joy in the simplest of circumstances, despite the fact that she endured multiple sclerosis for the last 33 years of her life. This prayer is attributed to a Civil War soldier. I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for help that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered, and I am among all most richly blessed. Amen.